Welcome. I'm James Thurtevant. I'm a technical evangelist out of Boston. Today we're going to explore some basic DOM manipulations in JavaScript without using a library like jQuery. Why would you want to do something like this? Well, if you use jQuery and you're looking to learn a little bit more about JavaScript itself, we'll be covering some simple operations that are supported by modern browsers. Or maybe you have some simple JavaScript operations that you need on your site that doesn't really require the heavy lifting. Or maybe you're building a browser plugin that you might want to not include the entire jQuery library with. Now, don't get me wrong here. Libraries like jQuery and Zepto are great for helping you be productive as a developer while not having to worry about supporting every single browser out there. There are a lot of arguments out there for building your site without one of these libraries, and with the release of Edge and the drop of support of older IE browsers, our troubles of browser compatibility on the desktop have been greatly reduced. But even Chrome and Firefox have bugs that are ironed out by these libraries. Mobile is a different story altogether. So the truth is, you'll probably want to use one of these libraries unless you love finding and fixing bugs. And if you're really concerned about being as light as possible in the browser, which you really should be, you can look into doing custom builds for these libraries that only bring out the bits that you need. Before we look at the basic JavaScript DOM manipulations, let's take a quick look at how many workarounds jQuery actually supports. I recently came across this post by Paul Irish that shows how to look for browser-specific workarounds that jQuery addresses. If you look down here, he has a couple commands that we can use. So what I did was I went out to jQuery's GitHub site and found the latest version. At the time of this recording, it's actually 2.2.1. I'm going to take this URL, open up a command prompt, and let's run it just to see exactly how many workarounds jQuery currently supports. So here I'm just calling curl, I'm running it against that URL where jQuery distribution lives, I'm searching through the document for the word support with a semicolon after it, or a colon after it, and I'm doing a word count. If I run that, it just takes a few seconds to run, and I get an output of 98. So as you can see, jQuery helps support over 90 browser-specific issues out there. So again, a great reason to really consider using a library like jQuery or Zepto. I know what you're thinking. We just spent the last few minutes proving that we need a library similar to jQuery, so why would I want to learn DOM manipulations without it? First off, why not? Learning how things work is a lot of fun. Second, I would argue that there are use cases where you don't need jQuery. But how would you know if you didn't need it if you don't know what a library like jQuery is doing for you? So take a few minutes to explore plain old JavaScript. Even if you don't end up using that helper library, you'll make better informed technology decisions. Let's take a look at how we do DOM manipulations without it. Let's dive in with what I think is one of the most common use cases, ensuring that the DOM is loaded. This event is fired when the DOM is fully rendered and is ready for you to start working with it. This is incredibly difficult in the past, and what we're going to do here is actually take a look at jQuery 1.12.1 and just see how challenging it was in the past. This is their document.ready method here, and what you'll see is that this method is fairly long. It's handling a whole bunch of different options. There's a couple set timeout setup, and obviously fairly challenging to manage. I think one of the things that jQuery really was successful at was making this incredibly simple. If we jump into some more code, we'll actually take a look at what jQuery looks like. So what I've done here is I've opened up the code that I'm going to use for this demo. On the left-hand side is us using jQuery. So we'll just see we're pulling in the latest 2.21 jQuery. And the way we would actually go about actually calling the document.ready is simply passing the $ document.ready and a callback function. And here we'll see that console.log gets called. If we compare that to the way we do that in modern JavaScript today, we look over here, it looks pretty similar. We have a document, we added an event listener, on this DOM content loaded, and we pass back a callback function. So let's see those both in action. I'm going to open up two queries. On the left-hand side here, I have document, the jQuery, and on the right-hand, I have JavaScript. If we inspect these elements and take a look at the sources and put a breakpoint here, we'll see that they do in fact fire. I refresh and I do hit that document.ready. I can run it off and we go. I can also take a look at the console and we'll see that it did print out. With JavaScript, again, of course, this is gonna work, but just to show you, we'll go into sources, we'll put a breakpoint on the add listener event this time, and we'll refresh. We're gonna put that on the console.log, so it'll fire once it is ready. And now console.log did fire. If we run it and switch over to the console, we'll see that document.ready actually ran. So you can see that this one's fairly simple. It's almost a very similar feel to it. How common is DOM content loaded? For that, we can head over to caniuse.com. And here we can type in DOM content loaded. And we'll see that it is indeed well supported across all the browsers. So it's been supported since IE9. And since IE9 no longer has support, we can for sure start to use this. Even on some of the mobile platforms, this is supported. So this is something we could use right out of the box. Of course, element selection is super important if we're going to do any DOM manipulation. jQuery has historically made this very easy, because in older browsers, it was difficult to say the least. With modern browsers, this is again made easy because of the new DOM APIs. Let's take a look at how we do this in jQuery and then in JavaScript. On the left-hand side here, I have the jQuery HTML page. I've added a section with a ID of main and added a unordered list. This list element here is the one we're going to be trying to select using jQuery. If we go down and look at the script, we'll see that we've got our familiar document ready, and then we've got our jQuery selector here. We're using a little bit of CSS selection to pull out that element, and then we're outputting the HTML to the console to ensure that we have the correct one. If we were to go to look at the JavaScript side, we'd see that we have the same section. We have a little bit different text inside the elements, but we're again going to try to select out that second LI element. If we go and look at the JavaScript for this, we'll see that we have that event listener for when the DOM content is loaded. And then with using the modern APIs, we can use the query selector. Now there's a query selector and there's a query selector all. Query selector is going to give us just one element. Query selector all will give us all of the elements that match that particular CSS. Here, we're again passing the same text that we saw on the jQuery side. And because jQuery gives you that nice HTML helper, we're only going to select out the inner HTML. This is how we do attribute selection with just JavaScript. Again, we get the HTML and we'll print it out to the console to make sure that it works. Let's go over and see what this looks like when we use jQuery. If we inspect the page and refresh the screen, we should see that we output to the console. Let's go ahead and just quickly take a look at that source. If I put a breakpoint here and then again refresh the screen, you'll see that I do pull out the HTML using the jQuery selector. Now let's hop over to the JavaScript side. If I inspect the element on this side and refresh, we'll see that selection is outputted. Now let's dive into the source, set the breakpoint, and refresh again. And we'll see that the query selector does indeed pull off the element, and inner HTML is returning the text that's inside the HTML. Another one we're going to take a look at that isn't as well supported is class manipulation. You are using CSS class for all your styling, right? jQuery makes it incredibly easy to do this. If we take a look over here, we see we've got the same section that we were working with before. And if we look at the JavaScript, we'll see that we're using the jQuery selector to select the element out. We're removing the class that exists, and then we're adding a new class warning, which will turn it red. If we look at the JavaScript, we'll see again we have the same section, and we're using that same query selector. This time, instead of saying remove class like we do in jQuery, we'll go into the class list. This class list is a list of classes that the element has. We'll remove it, and we'll add it. Let's take a look at what this looks like on the pages. So if we refresh this page for the jQuery first, we'll see that immediately it's working, it's turning it red. If we were to inspect the element, we'll see indeed that the first class that was initially there was removed and the class for warning was added. If we take a look at the JavaScript, we refresh, we will see that it indeed flashes green and then red, just like the jQuery said. And if we again inspect it, we'll see that we get the class warning instead of the initial class of success that we had at the beginning. Now let's take a quick look at can I use to see how well supported this is. Now, we looked at DOM content loaded before, so this time we will use class list. And we'll see that here in IE11 there is some notes that it doesn't work for SVG or MathML elements. And then also Opera Mini doesn't support it currently. And so we can see it's not quite as well supported. This is one of those cases where you might consider using a library like jQuery that kind of levels that out so you can only use that single API instead of having to add your own logic to be able to manage falling back to a different way of adding classes and adding and removing classes. For our last look at plain old JavaScript, let's take a look at what it looks like to make an AJAX call. Many of the other areas we've seen so far, the code looks very similar when we're using the modern APIs as it does to jQuery. With AJAX, this is a place where jQuery really shines through with its simplicity and is a good example of how a library like jQuery comes in handy, as you might end up writing something very similar yourself. On the left-hand side here, I have an AJAX call. You see it's very simple. We have AJAX, we specify the type, it can be get or put, or post, or any of the HTTP verbs. We specify a URL to a resource. We specify a successful callback and an error callback. It's very simple and concise. On the right-hand side, you can see the JavaScript side is a little bit more verbose. We have to do a lot more handling of the functionality on our own. We use this XML HTTP request to actually make the call. We can set up a on-ready state changed and handle the response, open the request and send it, and finally handle it. That's where things get a little bit trickier. We have to wrap everything in a try just in case something happens during the request, as if the server doesn't work anymore. We have to check to see the ready state and make sure that it's a 200 or whatever response type we're looking for. And finally, we can do something with the response. And if there was some sort of error, that's where we'd handle it in the else statement. So I'm not going to run this because I don't have a backend server set up to make requests, but I did want to just quickly show how jQuery does have a more concise syntax here. We could still do the same thing with JavaScript. We might end up writing our own wrapper to kind of handle this if we were to go down the route of using just JavaScript. This was a really quick look at some of the common uses of JavaScript without using a library like jQuery. We only really scratched the surface, and there are obviously more use cases to look at. There are a few sites you might want to check out if you're exploring what jQuery does and does not do for you. I have a few resources that I'm going to share that are on either side of that fence. I'm not recommending either argument, and instead think it's very valuable to investigate both. The first one is you might not need jQuery. This one's kind of cool because it lets you select what version of IE you're supporting back to, and if you scroll down, it goes through each of the elements out there and shows you how you would do it in jQuery and then how you would do it using JavaScript. The other is the inverse to that. This one is, you might not need jQuery. It's the counter argument and goes into a lot more detail on why you'd maybe choose jQuery or its library similar. Finally, there's another site here that goes into 10 tips for writing JavaScript without jQuery. This one goes into some of the elements that we went into and then a much more, talking a little bit more about how you actually might walk the tree and do other stuff like that. Either way you choose to go forward, you should explore both sides and determine what is the best fit for you, your team, and your project. Learning the pros and cons of both sides helps you be better informed and make better technology decisions. Well, I hope you enjoyed the tour, and please leave any comments or feedback below.